Anyway, I think I'll manage going forward. As I was speaking, in the last 4 weeks, we've done a lot in regards to what growth takes, how will it look like, and we've discussed also what culture we need. All that was a series I was trying to put together, and that's the bigger picture. So we're going to start doing the little bit of it. How then do you begin to build that culture? How do you walk through that? And so today I'll begin to speak about tools on relationships, okay? The title of my message today is Tools for Christ-Centered Relationships. Tools for Christ-Centered Relationships. It's a big thing. It has to be with God first before you connect with people. So we're going to now to talk about relationships with God and with one another. But for the purposes of today, I'll be talking more about tools for Christ-centered relationships. I framed it that way because in today's world, we think tools. We think stuff we use. You follow that? So I hope that that can interface with the way you think and can help you to start building that relationship. And one of the biggest challenges with the church is not when we are all happy and we are all singing kumbaya. It's when we're having conflict. That is when sometimes we don't deal with things well, and that's when the culture starts going the wrong direction, because instead of us tackling that with a Christ-centered attitude, God-centered, we can bring in our childhood issues. We can bring all kinds of issues into that, society and everything we think of. So I pray that we can continually build Christ-centered culture in God's church so that we can begin to really experience victories in our relationships with one another. Amen? So, when we talk of tools for Christ-centered relationships, what are we talking about? We're talking about confronting some one another issues that may be a risk when you do. And let me ask this question. What do you understand when I say confronting? What comes into your mind when I say confronting one another issues?
Character sin.
Character sin.
I think conflict.
Conflict. What?
Facing
the things that are there. Risking rejection or acceptance. Both ways you risk it. Because you may not want to be accepted either. So, basically, if the definition of it is facing a problem. Just facing a problem. Confronting is facing a problem. The way we understand it is tension and anger and all kind of animation. No, it's just facing a problem. It's calmly looking at the problem and saying, okay, what is the problem? It's calmly facing that problem and saying, here is a problem. It's not the animation of it. That is the cultural teaching we get from TV and other places. That is not it. The Bible way of it is just facing a problem. In other words, if there's a problem behind me, it's turning around and facing that problem. It's not getting angry and out of control. It is facing a problem. And confronting one another is facing a problem. It's not psyching yourself and ready to go fight. If he says this, I'll say this, I'll counter. It's not countering stuff. It is Christ-centered. It's not, I'll not let them get their way this time. It's not about that. It is how will we glorify God when this conversation is all said and done. Because when you get like that, you create poison in the conversation. You poison everything you talk about because you're angry, you're not really having Christ come in your way at all. So no one can listen to that kind of conversation. Even though you say the truth, it is so poisoned with anger, nobody wants to pay attention to that. So we have to understand that we cannot go that direction. Matthew 18, a scripture we all know well. Let's read this. As our introduction, the Bible says here that, verse 15, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Amen? Amen. That's stage number one. That how are you going to go and talk about it? Make noise or privately? You got to have a private moment. That it's a private conversation. It's not you talk to everyone in church before you talk to that person. No. Before, you don't need to talk to everyone.
Go and talk to that person privately. How your challenges, what is coming in your way. Have a private conversation, which is one-on-one, have a good conversation. And the one-on-one conversation way is describe your feelings when, based on how you're feeling on what happened. Don't go and tell him, you are like this. That is an assumption. You are able to say, when you said this, it affected me this way, and I felt that way. That's you're not putting responsibility on that person. You're taking responsibility on how you're handling that, and you're having a conversation. Does that make sense? When we start doing that, the culture in the church changes, relationships change, marriages change, single relationships change, because people are now being treated with Christ-centered relationship moving forward. Does that make sense? So that's what it says, that privately. And if he confesses, in other words, if someone acknowledges and says, yes, confession is agreeing with the truth. That if I agree that, yeah, I've been making a mistake there, do you rub it in? Oh, I've been meaning to tell you that for a long time. If they acknowledge, then you pray and help each other out moving forward. Does that make sense? Because that is Christ-centered. It's about helping someone to be right with God. It's not about keeping scores and thinking, I won today. Does that make sense? Right. So that's where it goes. It says, if they confess and agree, then that's it. But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say, they may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. I hope we never go to that stage. All right? Because we're disciples, we are willing to hear what God is saying. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. And that may be different groups, not necessarily all of us, depending on who you serve. Does that make sense? So that's a topic for another day. So that was an introduction. Let's talk about point number one. Take responsibility for your feelings. All right?
Yeah.
Take responsibility for your feelings. One of the things we can go wrong with is that you feel things, but you blame everyone for how you're feeling.
Wow.
Well, it is you who is feeling that. You need to take responsibility for that feeling and ask, where is it coming from? And then go have a conversation there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How can you not feel sorry? How can you not feel for me and I'm feeling this way? Well, I'm not an angel, so I don't know why you're feeling that way. You follow that? I may be whistling and you may think, that's so insensitive. Not really, because I don't know what you're going through yet. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And even if we speak to couples, if you don't speak to each other about how you're feeling, long term, you get resentful. You get resentful, but you never said really what was going on and how you're being treated. So that makes you very unhappy in your marriage. Whether you're dating, that makes you unhappy. But even just church culture, when people are not talking about things, they become very resentful with each other, resentful of this, resentful of that, resentful of leadership, resentful of that. Why? Because you're not talking. And when you go talk, you come and talk with an expectation. I want to talk to her until she falls down and says, I am sorry, and she's weeping. What if she doesn't do that and explains it? What if she doesn't? You have to understand that you go there to express from a Christ-centered and listen what's coming on the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, if you go to that conversation having decided they're guilty without hearing them,
right,
it's not an open conversation. It will not work. Leviticus 19. So, and for some of us can be defensive. Don't listen to this from that point of view. It says, yeah, he's right. Now from this point on, I'll always be arguing. No, listen, be open with what people say. We can be defensive about how people say different things. So be careful about your predisposition if you're a defensive person. Just be open to what other people are saying. Now, Leviticus 19, verses 17 through 18 reads that, do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin. You hear that? Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. I guess they are relatives by marriage, relatives by Christ, amen? Relatives by whatever, but don't nurse hatred. That's what it talks about. confront people directly, so you will not be held guilty for their sin. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. There was a teaching there that was brought there, but the issue is that how do you then develop grudges? You develop grudges because you're not taking responsibility for your feelings. That's how you develop grudges. You feel things, you never talk about it, you point, you get angry, and you sit down and think through everything. So you become the jury, you become the investigating officer, you become the judge. You're going to win that case. You are everything, and never talk to that person. Before you know it, you begin putting them in a box. Before you know it, you isolate them. You don't talk to them a lot. You see them, you turn, here comes X, Y, Z. And that doesn't help you. That happens because you're not confronting, facing your challenges, facing your feelings, taking responsibility of that. When that happens, you're going to be resentful. Many relationships fail because we refuse to talk to each other. Now, some of us are simply afraid to bring up a conversation, a difficult conversation, because we don't know how. That is why we're talking about tools. These tools help you then to learn to say, I would like to talk about how I'm feeling about X, Y, Z when this happened. You follow that?
Yeah.
In other words, you're taking responsibility. You're speaking in the I person, talking about the issues you're feeling because of X, Y, Z. And if that person acknowledges or says, oh, this otherwise, you should be able to come to a position of accepting or understanding and asking more questions. Amen? So that's the position of don't hold a grudge. Talk about things. And Ephesians talks about before the sun goes down. Amen.
Amen?
So if you just practiced that, you would have a very happy life. You walk around, I was in what your daughters call K. Roger. What's that? That's Kroger or Kroger. K. Roger, that's what they call her. That's my new name for that one. K. Roger. Kroger. Anyway, I was there, and there was this guy that was whistling. And I thought to myself, my wife said, he's happy. And he was really happy. He was very kind. And I thought to myself, you can be like that if you don't hold stuff inside. If you hold stuff inside, you're dead man walking. It's a question of time. If you're a teen, hear me. Are there teens today here? No, they're not. I'm not seeing my daughter. So. But if you're a compass, hear this. You have to be careful about holding stuff inside. By the time you're 30, you will not be happy. Why? Because you've been putting stuff inside, justifying and rationalizing that stuff. If you're a married person and you're an older person, please talk about the challenges you're facing. It helps, for God has put us in fellowship. He wants us to have that conversation with Him first, and then with one another. Amen.
Amen?
Number two, check your motive. Sometimes we talk about things in a shadow boxing mentality. What do I mean by shadow boxing? I want to say, you could say something, but you're not really being sincere about it. You're trying to see, you're fishing. Yeah. You're trying to fish. How will this go? How will this pan out? That doesn't work well. Don't fish. Or don't try to put guilt on people. Be clear why you're having that conversation. Does that make sense? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 17. Ecclesiastes chapter 17. Yeah, say that again if I'm going too fast. Or if you're not getting me right. That's okay. Ecclesiastes. Not Genesis. Ecclesiastes. Okay. Are we doing well? Okay, we're getting there. Did I say 17? It's not there, right? 7. 7, not 17. 7. No, I'm not testing you. I just didn't get it right.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7. 21, 22, chapter 7.
Ecclesiastes? Chapter 7? Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes.
Now you're playing.
Are you there? Let's read 21 to 22. It says this, don't eavesdrop on others. You may hear your servant curse you. For you know how you often, you yourself have cursed others. Here's the deal.
Do not be too sensitive to every little thing. You understand that? How can you say that? How can you say that? We can't react to every little thing. How can you say that? You cannot control what people say. But you can control how you react. You understand that? You can't. If you keep hearing every little thing that people say and you take offense over that, I don't think you'll be a happy person. You have to ask yourself that question, what exactly do you want in life? You want to react to every little thing that people say. People make jokes at you. That's fine. So you can't react at every little thing. Resolve issues with maturity, which is Matthew 18. All right? Which is Matthew 18. That's how you resolve things with maturity. So, understand this. Revenge will not help you because that's not God's way. Understand this. Seeking alliances to support your bidding will not help you either. That will not help you. That doesn't help you. Just because two people agree with you, that doesn't help your cause. If you want to be healed and have Christ-centered approach, don't look for seek alliances. Go to Christ and sort things out clearly. Amen? Another thing is don't dump pain on people. Sometimes you have pain and you're just dumping it on people. Or you're using it in a very negative way. In the name of I'm just being open. Let's be real here. Well, you still need to be responsible. Check your motive why you're saying these things. The idea is not just to dump stuff on people. It's to talk through things and bring about healing and change that you desire. So before you go and talk, think about the other person. What do you want them to understand and how do you want to get moving forward in a spiritual way? So if you pick up on every little thing, you'll get very offended. And our society is a perfectionist society. With that, it tunes us into the sense of, if anything goes wrong, we can't take it. Nobody's perfect, but here's the deal. We must take responsibility and check our motive when we're going to have these conversations. So if it doesn't pan out right, be patient to work it out and work it out, but do not dump your pain on other people. Okay? Finally, but not least, own others' legitimate feelings. Own others' legitimate feelings. In other words, people have feelings. You need to respect that. You follow that? Now, understand this. I respect that. It doesn't necessarily mean I agree with it. Understand that. You may have certain thoughts and that we will hear that. It doesn't mean we agree with it. Because remember, for the most part, you think you see the world as it is. But actually, you see the world as you are. You really see the world as you are. And if you've had pain before and come out of pain, you'll see that sometimes pain distorts a lot of things. So you have to really take time and don't think that everything you see is accurate. Sometimes you need some time and space to think through issues. Matthew chapter 5. That should be easy.
Matthew 5:23 says, this is a teaching about anger, but I'll take it from 23. It says, so if your presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. You get that? Ideally, if we're having a conflict, the Bible calls that I should go and have a conversation and then sort that out. But if I try to make a conversation and that person is not interested, what happens? It's no longer on us. We've tried, but he's not responding. You follow that? I must say I've done everything. Then I've moved on to Romans. I've done, as far as it depends on me, I'm living in peace with that person. I've tried everything, but he's not responding. So, okay, we must continue and not feel guilty for the rest of our lives and carry a burden of guilt. Even though we've tried and the person did not respond, it's not our role to feel guilty for the rest of our lives. Amen. Because we tried everything. Amen. So, when you're dealing with this, acknowledge where you have a problem. Acknowledge that, yeah, there was a problem there. And it's a done deal. We cannot be there forever. Apologize and move on. Does that make sense? But make sure that you're not keeping scores. Because sometimes you can get in the culture of keeping scores. You owe me one, you owe me one. You owe nobody anything. We owe it to God. We owe it to God to be reconciled. We owe it to God to be godly. We owe it to God to have a culture that shows Christ in our lives. So if we have an issue and you keep bringing it up, it shows it's not Christ-centered. It's you-centered. But that happens, the reason it keeps coming back is you never resolved properly in the first place. You never had a complete conversation and got done with it. So you had a conversation and says, anyway, never mind. Well, it matters what is going on in your mind. So it's important to talk through things and come to a complete place. That is not a place where people agree with you, but in a place where you've been vulnerable and feel like you've said enough. Amen? When we get to that place, then we can stop keeping scores. It takes humility to talk about issues. Yes. It takes humility to talk about issues. So what is humility? That's a question I'd like to know what you think about it. What is humility? Understanding? The heart of Jesus. Heart of Jesus? Denying yourself? All right. Same thing. Sober judgment. That is where I was going. Romans describes it. Everything is right. Quite correct. But sober judgment. Sober judgment of yourself. There's some things you do well. Amen. Amen. No need to blow a trumpet about it. But thank God you do that well. There's some things you don't do well.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think with that, you need to grow in that area.
Yeah.
But if we come to Christ and act like, I am perfect. Really? Right. How old are you? I mean, you better know that we're not perfect.
Yeah.
And you need to come to terms with yourself.
Yeah.
It helps building this relationship when you realize some things, I'm not just good with that. I'm good with this, but this part, no. It's a sober judgment. That's what Romans talks about, a sober judgment of self. If we understand that, then we can own others. We can quickly come to a place, if you have accepted that of yourself, it's easy to accept of others. If you don't accept of yourself that you have imperfections and that, you will have trouble of accepting of others. But that can only come if you're connecting with Christ and Christ is showing his grace and see how he treats you, and then you see how you can turn around and treat your children like that, treat your wife like that, treat your husband like that, treat your brother, your sister like that. Why? Because now you understand what it takes to walk through this difficulty of relationships. So this evening, I'd like to end with this point by saying that if we're going to build a culture that is really glorifying God, that attracts people to Christ, we have to practice this, because this is one area the devil uses a lot. He will do a small thing here, a small thing there, and before we know it, we're not talking to one another.
Before we know it, we're saying all kinds of things to each other or avoiding each other altogether. Some of us cope by just saying things. Others cope by being quiet. Others cope by simply apologizing for no reason. We need to get to Christ.
Amen.
And Christ calls us to really make sure that we're not holding grudges within us. We're really talking about our feelings and emotions. We're taking responsibility for that, and we're going forward. God bless you.